You'll be good, Josh.
I'm gonna get all my cursing out before we start recording.
We're already recording.
All right, good. You can edit it out then.
Hi.
All right, Kirk. You want to do the intros?
Sure. Welcome back to another week of Autastic. This is your co-host Kirk Smith with the lovely Graham.
I'm lovely today. This is nice.
You're looking very sharp today. You're looking very sharp.
All
cleaned
up.
Thank you.
Got your submissions you submitted, and you made a good effort.
I'm trying to be a real professional.
You look very professional.
Thank you.
Very professional. You're adding a real level of glamour to this tiny apartment.
I love this little apartment. It's great.
This is tiny.
It's a studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a podcast studio apartment.
Is this your first time here? Don't you record together all the time?
Yeah, I'm here all the time.
That voice you just heard is Josh, is our special guest. Graham, why don't you introduce our special guest today?
Josh, how do you say your last name again?
Myrowitz. Myrowitz. I let people cheat and just say
Joshua Myrowitz. You've changed to Josh for the stage?
No, Joshua for the stage.
Joshua for the stage.
Yes.
I like it. Okay.
But I'm always Joshua off stage anyways.
Okay.
I just prefer Joshua because no one else is using Joshua.
I like that. I was going to say, I heard it the I interpreted that explanation the opposite way when you were telling it off mic. But I was thinking he should go with Joshua.
Yeah. My last, the reason why it goes together, my last name, Myrowitz, with it, much better than it would just be Josh. Also, I figure my last name's obnoxious enough as is. I mean, come on, that's, our last name is so very Jewish. it's Myrowitz, and you think, oh, that's long enough, just be Josh. No, it still sounds good with Joshua. So Joshua Myrowitz, go the long haul.
It does go well. Joshua Myrowitz is a self-described autistic comedian.
I
can't be like, I describe him as autistic.
Right. I've been talking a lot with other comedians about it because on one hand, I'm scared of being looked at as a gimmick,
right?
Like I'm not the mystery comic with the bag on my head. I don't want people to think that's all I got,
for sure.
But I stopped. Then the other side, I talked to Steve Trevino about it, and he's like, no, just autism up front, go forward with it. I used to do exactly what he's saying, and then I'd have other comedians, professional and not, saying, dude, don't do that, otherwise people are gonna think it's a gimmick. Like, and that's the last thing I need.
It's like if you're in a wheelchair and you don't address it, and you just do 20 minutes and you're in a wheelchair the whole time.
I had a friend who was super gay.
Okay.
And then he it's unfortunate that there's a double standard that he has to address it. But if he didn't address it, people would be like, why didn't he say that he's gay?
Right.
Like, if you just say, I'm gay, okay, whatever. Anyway.
Even if you don't have a joke about it.
Even if you don't have a joke about it, get over it. You know, you're not as obvious. No,
I'm obviously the high when it comes to high. I have Asperger's, and even when it comes to that's high functioning autism. Mm-hmm. I'm the high functioning, and like none of them can really articulate like I can.
Right.
I've met other high functioning autistic people over the years. Fun fact: when I first started at the Haha Cafe, mm-hmm. stand up 6 years ago at the Haha Cafe in North Hollywood, and there was another high functioning autistic guy, and he asked me at the end of my set, "Tell me what you think." And he should have known better because he's like me, being autistic, we have no filter.
Right.
And me in general, I don't like to lie. So you combine that together, I don't lie to anyone. I rarely even white lie, but even when I do that, it has to be extremely common sense.
So you just told him the truth.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He did terrible, so I said, you did terrible. and he tried, this is true, he tried to insult me by calling me something he thinks is an insult. He called me ADD boy, which is weird because that's not an insult so much as it's a promotion.
That's funny, Josh. We're going to get into it later with you, but first we're going to do our opening segment, the weekly roundup. That's an awesome opening story.
Josh got promoted to ADD. That's
right. Yay!
Kirk,
hope for me yet.
What's your weekly? How was your week?
Boy, I think it's the same as last week. I had a little bit of a rough week. It was
amen.
It was good.
Solidarity.
Every podcast. I got to me again. Ah, God, life.
Another week out of the way.
Hey, buddy. You look good. Great.
Thanks.
You do.
I push it really far down.
Look at this guy. Look at that hair. Look at the hair, Josh.
Your podcaster's
suave as hell.
He looks
I've
great.
Got good hair.
He's got nice skin.
Look at you. Look at
you. Got the baby blues.
I feel like this is
the inside is dead.
One day.
Is this a podcast? It's like just encouragement for Kirk time. We just
get together. This is encouragement for Joshua Meyerowitz as well.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't sound like I'm talking third person.
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing that everyone has to go through, you know, autistic or not.
Yeah.
It's one of the silver linings of when my brother goes through something. My brother is autistic. Is like we can talk about it. Like when he has, when he's depressed or something, I'm like, because we completely understand both what's going on.
Right.
You know?
One of my things is I haven't seen my son in a while, mm-hmm. and it makes me feel really guilty.
Sure.
So then it's like not something I can even talk to him on the phone about. He's low functioning, so he only says 10 words. So they'll hold the phone up to him, and he'll, you know, I'll yell, and I'll talk, and he'll kind of call in response, but it's not. It makes the guilt surrounding that. We talked about that in another episode. Yeah, the guilt.
Absolutely.
I feel solidarity with that because
not your fault.
Up until about a decade ago, I was the only disabled person in my family. Mm-hmm. I have an older sister named Lauren, and she about a decade ago got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and it's bedridden her.
So you got promoted.
Yes, got promoted. But coming back to the whole guilt thing, I live with my parents, and she lives with us now. She can't live alone. She's 36.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, wow. She's still uber independent, but like now she used to travel to New York and San Francisco all the time by herself, and slowly just ate. It was some sort of spinal thing that she's not permanently paralyzed, So I would leave the house all the time, and I'd leave my parents with her, and my parents now have, especially if I'm not home, they don't have time for themselves, really. They have to help her, and they're an anxious bunch. Plus, when I'm not around...
They're an anxious bunch.
Well, the whole family's, but I'm my parents' child more so than any of my siblings. I was born with autism, but everything else is my parents' fault.
So you're like everybody else.
So I feel guilt leaving my parents in a situation where they don't have enough breathing room for themselves, and then leaving my sister with no one extra to help her.
Is it just the two of you?
I have the only other sibling I have is a twin brother, fraternal. He has no disabilities. I have Asperger's, and he's an a-hole. So. He's
that's
not
his disability.
He
can't be disabling. Yeah.
Can I tell you?
Sure.
If that's a disability, what a disability! Because he gets chicks so hard. So not sex. I mean, sex too, probably. But I would assume. But you know, got type of guys like that. I'm assuming.
And the thing about stand up is like people will treat you like a person. They're not going to baby you. They're going to joke around with you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like they'll rip on you because they're not treating you with bait kid gloves. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't want anyone to pity have pity or sympathy for me in the first place. I want people just to relate and understand me. That's the most I want.
Yeah. Stand-up's a good place for misfits. Yeah. Like if someone saw this picture, a photo of us, the three different people sitting around this table... That's what I love about stand-up. You'd be like, well, these guys...
have nothing in common.
Yeah, AA meeting? Every time you go to like a diner, not so much this table, but if you go to like a diner and there's like a group of people, mismatched people, you're either like, those are comics or AA.
AA, yeah.
It's like...
So they're united by either pain or more pain.
Yeah, why is there an old biker, a Hasidic Jew, a hipster... cool black guy. why are they all hanging out?
They relate more.
That's true.
By the way, just two things true, quickly. Yeah. First of all, I hope I'm not talking over you guys too much or at all.
I'm here to talk, buddy. I mean, we have segments, but if you go off on a tangent, that's fine.
All right, cool. Yeah. I just don't want to be a jerk on it, especially on someone else's deal. And the other thing is...
All right, that's enough, Josh.
The other thing is...
I was waiting for you to say it because I had to say it. I feel bad.
My brother's a good person. He can just be a little bit of a... Is a douche a curse word? It's a curse word, but is it like...
Kind of,
he's a bit of a douche, but he's a good person. He's just a bit of a douche. My mom will constantly be like, he never calls. He never calls. He's always selfish. And I'm like, well, mom, maybe if you stopped calling him, he'd call us back.
Yeah, play hard to get, mom.
Yeah. He's so selfish.
A-holes like that.
They don't want to deal with the family that they feel embarrassed of. So.
Well, I mean, he'll come around.
Yeah.
I hit my 30s and I was like, I really like my weird family. You know, you're like, I need them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
How was your week in review, Graham?
Well, you realize you need your family when, like, you go through, like women troubles or girl troubles.
Women troubles. Never heard of that. How's that work?
Yeah, you've never heard of that. But, you know, you always are like, well, who, like, I move around all the time. I'm a comic. I have good friends, but I keep changing cities. And it's like these friends are, they sort of, it's hard to keep those friendships strong. What's left is, like, your family, you know? So, like, going through lady trouble, call my brother up, tell him about it. And he's like, damn, like, even, like, I forget that even though he's autistic, like, I can tell him stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I forget that I can still use him as a resource.
Oh, yeah.
And like, as a shoulder to lean on. And he's like, great. You know, and, like, the advice he gives and, like, when I'm going through, like, terrible stuff in my life is the best advice. Because it's completely unfiltered. It's like you said,
yeah,
like uninhibited, and it's not tainted by a lot of outside media telling him how to think.
Yeah,
he's like, well, you should do this.
There, it's something.
You just gotta move on, man.
It's something bordering. I would like to say I'm pure-hearted.
Yeah,
can I tell you that maybe this is something I love people. I try to relate to them to the best of my ability. I tend not to like other autistic people. I'm not a fan of other autistic people.
Yeah.
First of all, I have my feelings of inferiority. I have an inferiority complex. I would think it is. And like whenever there's someone like more classically autistic, it makes me feel bad. Like I'm not as pure as they are, and they're better than me because of that.
That's
like
hilarious.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know anything about math and science and whatnot, but hey, I love to read Japanese comic books. You can talk to me about that all day.
Yeah. I'm not as classically autistic. I love it.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that autistic people are Rain Men, but that's such a small, like, no one, that's not.
I say on stage, you take me to Vegas, you will lose all your money, and they will kill you.
No. I like how, and they will kill you.
They will kill you. They'll just leave me like a scoop of ice cream and then run me off.
You just have like a bunch of aces literally up your sleeve, and they just come tumbling out on the table.
That's funny.
So in the news. This is interesting, Josh. Jump in.
Well, should we, Josh? Josh, let's talk.
That's right. Sorry, we talked about this before. I already forgot. We'd like before this.
Trust
started,
me.
We'll do it in this order. I was like, gotcha.
Fire them all off. I'm good to go.
Let's talk about your week in review a little bit, Josh. Like week in the life of Josh.
I have a hard time sleeping a lot. I'm not, thankfully, not. What's it called when you can't sleep at all?
Narcoleptic.
Is the opposite. You're falling. What, sorry, go
insomniac?
Ahead.
Insomniac?
Yes, insomniac. I'm not insomniac, but like my sleep schedule is usually somewhere between 3 in the morning and 8 in the morning, usually. Like
So wait a minute. What are you doing from like 11 to 3?
I'm looking at stuff on the internet. I'm playing video games if I can convince myself, or watching movies.
But are you trying to sleep or are you not trying to sleep?
Sometimes I can convince myself and then I just can't fall asleep. And then other times I'm either have to or already very distracted by something I'm watching or reading online. Like I like to watch people professionally play fighting games online.
But I think it's pretty, yeah. I think we need a different, like, there's stupid, and then there's people who are mentally different, mentally disabled, but stupid is like, that guy's stupid. Like, you're not stupid. Like, I could talk to you all day and be interested.
Oh, much love, I appreciate it.
Like, you have insight into things, and I don't know, and you're a nice guy. I don't know.
Nice means more to me than anything else. I love people despite absolutely being terrified of everyone.
Do you know? Yeah. Do you know what I was thinking about? Like, what, listening to you talk about video games, I was like, if they made Revenge of the Nerds now, they would be like banned from theaters. It'd be like, why are they beating up all these Asperger's people? In the 80s, you'd just be called a nerd.
Yeah, yeah. I am still very much a nerd.
You'd be accepted in society and just be called a nerd.
I was saying on the reason I'm such an anxious human being is because I'm an autistic, nerd, Jew, comedian. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to wrap that all together.
I was telling you earlier, I don't think Jews have the corner on the anxious market. I think.
Listen, I think you're nuts.
I think you should meet my parents, all right? All right. Did I say it already? I may say it on stage as well, but I really mean it. I was born with autism, but everything else is their fault.
Let's take a step back. Okay, tell us about your week.
So okay, my week, I wake up. I'm a procrastinator, so I usually wait till the last minute to get showered up, and I'm very particular about showering and hygiene to the point that the whole process, brushing teeth, flossing, tongue scraping, fluoride, the stuff you gargle and spit.
Yeah,
mouthwash.
Mouthwash. Thank you. And then getting the shower and get it takes 45 minutes with the drying and all.
That's about normal.
Really,
I'm about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
My dad takes longer in the bathroom than a woman.
I'm about 15 minutes, but I think it was a little different.
Yeah, it depends on the pace, but that's good to know. I always thought I was like my dad, and we take longer than women, which is not a bad thing. I have some sweet man boobies, and I ain't going to judge.
Got to wash them.
Duh.
Got to wash them.
Got to get every crevice.
Underneath those moobs.
Duh.
So what are you doing during the day?
I look at...
You're writing, you're hanging out?
I struggle to write. Yeah, I usually, I'm just at home. If my sister or my parents need me to be up to wait for something or help my sister with something or help them with something, absolutely. I live with my parents, but I willingly pay room and board.
Do you work?
No, I can't do normal jobs. Comedy is the first chance I have at making any kind of living.
You couldn't like...
It's not even... Even if I'm good at something, eventually the anxiety takes over. The part where everyone can keep their anger inside when they feel stuck... I can't. I will lose it. I will become a liability. Not that I do something bad. I just would have a freak out, and that would get me fired. And I don't want to be a liability to anyone in the first place. So I have to take myself out of the equation. Same thing goes with driving. I can't drive. So I get to take this, what I like to call the special needs taxi, it's a whole process with that thing. You have to schedule a little bit earlier if you have obligations, simply because you never know if you're going to get there late or if it's going to be a shared ride. It's a whole thing. I call it the adult short bus. It's like a retarded limo. It's got a ramp and everything.
I should laugh at that.
How do you feel about the word retarded?
I don't care about it. It's funny to me, if anything.
I always thought said the word retarded was for people without mentally handicapped people that they know to get offended by.
I'm used to my being called when I was younger, being called a retard by my brother. It hurt not necessarily because of the word, but to be belittled hurt more.
Sure.
So whether it was my twin brother or when we were young, so he would do that because the brothers, or just people not saying the word but talking down to me, it's like being treated like a retard. There are times I don't like being, I wouldn't take advantage of other people, so I'd hope they wouldn't take advantage of me. Mm-hmm. And I usually say in situations like that, I'm a Howard Stern fan. You know, he has the whack pack. Mm-hmm. All those guys he basically kind of, in my opinion, takes advantage of because it's their disabilities are funny and not on purpose. Not on purpose. It's inadvertent, and thus we can exploit it.
Right.
So I say that I'm not your effing retard.
Right.
It doesn't sound as good without the full F word, but you get my point.
Did it become sort of like your N-word? Like you took the power out of it by using it?
No, I'm not an offendable person. I only get non. Is the term nonplussed appropriate? Nonplussed when people say something messed up. Mm-hmm. Like on purpose, not even for comedy's sake. I'm like, oh, whatever, buddy. don't put me next to you. I don't want people to think I'm going to say something bad like that, too.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. I hope I'm going in all different directions in my head.
No, this is great.
The word doesn't bother me. I'm not only an honest person, I'm an extrovert. I'm an extrovert who should be an introvert.
You're the only autistic extrovert I've ever met, I think.
I'd rather be boring and unmysterious than be mysterious and untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. Like, I want people to understand me. That's why I do stand-up. It's my first chance at being understood on this level. Like, this Asperger's invades every facet of my being, whether I don't want to be a gimmick or not. It is what it is, and hopefully not only the right message, but a funny message comes out.
You could make a lot of, speaking of messages, you could make a lot of positive change.
Yeah.
You could make a lot of pause. He just kicked me violently.
No!
Everybody. No, I'm kidding.
Why would you say that? They can't see a vision.
He's out of control.
he warned you. He's a liability. Yeah.
Can I say, I half-jokingly say I don't like other autistic people? It's based on a truth, obviously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm more than willing to do autism charity shows and the like, because anything I can, or talk to parents of autism personally, anything I can do to sort of help in some way, because I never thought I'd be good enough to be of any service to people outside my immediate family.
Right.
So I'm excited and willing.
It's very important for any human, regardless of their ability, to find purpose.
Yeah.
It sort of turns on receptors in your brain. Like I was talking last week about my brother playing basketball. Like, my brother is like apparently this good basketball player. And when he gets on the court, I mean, he's like, he can't really dribble, but he can really shoot, and he gets excited and he cheers people. He like, he finds a purpose and he finds a direction and he gets excited. He's like, he's almost more alive. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. he's more focused. It's great. And in a small way, that's sort of what comedy does for you. It gives you something to be proud of.
Yes.
A goal.
Gives you friends. Community.
You took the adult short bus here, you know, and you're hanging out, and we had a little, you know,
healthy pasta.
Kirk made us some nice healthy pasta. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we much appreciated.
How did you find comedy?
It's always been this lingering thing. I can't say I was in it from the beginning, but there was always little signs I was told, like my outgoingness despite my disability. By the way, first 14 years of my life, I lived in New Jersey. I was diagnosed with ADD, and they gave me medication according to that, and that messed with me really badly. Mm-hmm. And it was only until we moved out to California 16 years ago, I'm 30 years old now.
You're great.
That day, oh, good Jew genes.
All that 45 minute prep work every morning.
Jesus Christ.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
Doing. I don't know why I did that. Anyways. Yeah.
It's funny, when you mentioned what they asked what you wanted to be when you were a kid, you said comedian.
Yeah.
And then you went into movies. When they asked me when I was a kid what I wanted to be, I said I wanted to be an usher. Like, free movies, getting paid? Like, I didn't want to do...
Good call.
A
cute little cap. Yeah. I was like, I didn't want to be a cop light or a fireman at all. I was like, movies, nighttime, popcorn, money coming in.
Yeah.
I didn't like,
What's the problem here?
Professional full-time usher.
Movie
supporting
watcher.
A family.
Yeah.
Buying a house. Driving a Ferrari, I assume.
For people who don't know, Asperger's isn't just autism. It's anxiety. Heavy, heavy anxiety. Being on stage is the only thing so far in my entire life since I started 6 years ago on, I am not anxious.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Being in front of a group of people doesn't make you anxious. It makes you less anxious.
No,
it calms you.
When I'm in front of a group of people off stage, I'm anxious because I'm scared of being judged and them thinking I'm a bad person of any sort.
You're in control on stage.
Sort of, yes. It's I don't know if it's a matter of control as opposed to there's just no anxiety. Granted, and like any pro, it has its con. When I get off stage, all the anxiety, I feel that all the anxiety I didn't have on stage collides with all the anxiety I usually have off stage and becomes like a bit of a tsunami. So even no matter if I have a good or bad set, I'll sort of be like, once I'm off stage, I'll start becoming a little like shaky and like in my own head, like,
I think that's normal for any comedian.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of comedians are, you know, have a lot to deal with anxiety. I think that's pretty a common thread.
Yes.
And then I think a lot of the, one of the reasons why comedians like, people become funny with a lot of anxiety is because you're throwing the first strike. You're controlling the narrative in a conversation, you know. And so when you're on stage, you're controlling the narrative. Whatever anybody thinks about you, they can't talk. And then you get to tell them who you are and make them decide. Show them who you are. Make them decide, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Basically, but
you can make fun of it, and then they're like, "Oh, he's awesome."
Yeah, I struggle still to relate to people, mm-hmm. like, which is weird as a comedian. I mean, you can't do this if you can't.
It's not that weird.
No.
Oh, okay, good. No. I'm learning new things every day. I'm 30 years old, still learning new things every day.
I think that's the desire good. Everybody has is to connect, and I don't think it's easy for anybody.
Yeah, because I hadn't. Had a normal job really ever. My ultimate goal is just to be a road comic. I don't need to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. I just want to be good enough to make a living and travel the road. And know what the best is? I can't drive, so I'm always with someone, so it's extra nice like that.
I wanted to talk about this real quick. You'd mentioned about dating, and Graham and I had an episode where we talked about there's a new autism website that is for autistic people meeting other people. So what are your thoughts on this?
Every time. It doesn't even matter if I'm on a podcast. They're like, why don't you date other autistic people? Can I tell you something? And including myself, autistic people, including myself, mm-hmm. we are not attractive people. We are physically not attractive.
He's offended all of our listeners now.
Good.
Continue, Josh.
Listen, hey,
son is beautiful.
My son, he's a sweetie pie.
A lot of women right now.
One day a woman's going to love him, hug him, and never let him go.
500 women now just switched off their radios. Okay, go ahead.
Well, no. I don't, once again, I'm half joking. I honestly half believe that I'm
my
not
brother is super attracted to this one girl and who's also autistic that won't give him a time of day. It's been like a 10-year thing.
Sounds good, man. I'm terrible at dating. And
that's not what I asked you. Would you consider...
Oh, sorry, my bad. Would I consider it? Absolutely, but I wouldn't use a website. Just let it happen naturally.
But
wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Graham.
I think we're going to say the same thing.
Yeah, we are. Go ahead. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
So, I mean, people who aren't autistic go online dating because it's hard to find, because they're busy or whatever, for whatever reason, it's hard to find somebody that's similar to them.
It's
they don't have
match.
Time.
Yeah.
Trying to find a good match. So this is like, it's even harder for you to find a good match. Like somebody that can like relate to you. Like what if you found like a female version of you with huge tits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
You'd love that, right?
But she has to be attractive, both mentally and physically have to be attractive. And
sure,
then, and of course, it has to be
mutual.
You don't
need the whole autism community to be beautiful. You need to find this one girl.
Yes, yes.
That's all you need.
I agree. Can I say that with online dating in general, not just autism sites for online dating, is the same for me with stand-up. Like, I can't book my own stuff, really. I can't look into things business-wise on my own. I don't know what to do or what to say. But if you put me on stage or in this situation in the date, I'm allegedly good on stage. I'm a terrible date.
Right.
I'm glad it took me all these years to not find anyone so far, because it made me appreciate it far more. They're like, what was the original question? So I can.
Would you consider looking at this website to find somebody?
No, because just like trying to find business by myself doing stand up, I don't know what to say.
Okay, but the follow up question: what's the downside of messaging a few people and they ignore your messages?
Because I feel awkward doing it. I feel like I'm bothering people. I don't like to bother people. I'm very irrational about
me
that.
Me and Graham have this discussion that I'm very fatherly, and I'm probably almost old enough to be your dad. But I would say you reach out to people, especially if you're just looking for somebody just to connect with and have companionship. Worst case scenario is they ignore your messages.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's, trust me, I've done online
things.
I have
people ignore all of us. Everybody's been ignored.
I have a Tinder account. I have an OkCupid account. I don't use them. I delete Tinder. It feels unnatural. I like things happen naturally. That's why, oddly enough, at this point, I'd rather date a female comedian because they're messed up like me. Most of them tend to be very attractive physically and mentally to me. And I think I'm the only. But here's the other thing with me being Mr. Nice Guy. I'm Joshua Myers, friend to all women. I rather be in their friend zone than not at all, because that means I have a friend. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind being friend zoned. I'm no men's right activist where I the patriarchy. Blah, blah, blah.
Is that a thing? Men's right activist?
Yes,
I haven't heard of that.
It's an internet thing. It's such a stupid thing. Yes, unfortunately. I love women. If a date doesn't work out, if a woman doesn't like me, I have nothing but myself to blame. I would never blame another woman unless they were just a bad person. Period. That's the one reason. But other than that, I have only myself to blame for my behaviors. On a date, I talk too much. I'm unmysterious. I get because I'm unmysterious, that makes me boring.
When you start dating older women, they're going to appreciate the honesty.
Yeah,
I agree.
By the way, I hope I don't sound like a shallow creep.
I think you said you just want to hold somebody and cuddle them.
Yeah, I just want to. Feel like I'm a part of someone.
I think at your age, I think that's pretty normal. I think a lot of people want to connect with somebody.
Yeah, the youngest kind of girl I go for is like 20, 21. But below that makes me feel
right
very uncomfortable.
Where legality is so good. Below it's legal.
Legality's 18, and that even kind of like...
Yeah.
It's too much, and I don't like that idea.
You have a lot more normal life experiences than abnormal.
Everybody's always telling me, let the woman talk more during a day. But like,
that's good advice, actually.
It is, but I end up still talking the same amount they do, because I'm getting to know someone.
It's worth the effort. That's what I'm saying. It's worth the effort.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I find myself talking more and more.
Do you want to do the in the news?
Sure, yeah. This
By the way, I hope I answered the questions you asked me.
You did, absolutely. Thank you.
I know I go off on tangents like no other, so go ahead. I apologize.
No problem. In the news, this is our weekly segment where we talk about what's in the news. I want to ask you the question on this too, Josh.
Yeah.
This was scientists think that MDMA, which is basically Molly for our LA listeners, want to do research on whether...
Ecstasy.
Yeah,
MDMA.
But I think ecstasy has more in it than... Okay, we don't talk about that.
Yeah. MDMA is like condensed. Ecstasy is MDMA with speed.
There you go.
I've heard.
That's the difference, right. So basically, they want to do a study where they are arguing that pure MDMA would be useful as a treatment for social anxiety in autistic adults. What do you think, Grams? Is something you'd be comfortable with having your brother try?
No, I mean, I have to read the study. It seems a little fishy to me. I mean, just to have my brother hopped up on drugs all the time seems a little insane. Of course, he's going to be more social. He's on drugs.
He's on Molly.
Yeah. He's on, like, he, I don't want my brother just, like, just feeling the wall.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, ooh.
So soft.
Like, because you're not sharp. You know, it's not something it's also... bad for you.
Yeah, I think so. I think
you can't do it very much. Like, to be on it all the time, like, it's linked to MS.
I didn't know
it's not good for it's not good for your spinal fluids and all. It's
I know
just,
it's not good for your spinal
it's not
fluids.
Good.
That's right.
It's just not good stuff to be in your bloodstream.
In this particular situation, it seems personally a bad idea. Like, don't, like, you already are giving usually us a lot of, when doctors are already involved, a lot of medication. Well, or even a lot, not even a lot, even if it's not a lot, it's intense medication. My point being is, if it works, good for you. But for me, I had horrible freakouts.
You're already anxious. You don't need something that's going to
exactly
make you more
increase
anxious.
It. Between that and then the food. Oh, I got the munchies. I am high on life.
Yeah.
I don't know about MDMA, but weed made me feel like I literally lost like, I don't mean to misuse literally, but it really felt like I lost intelligence. Uh-huh. Like I probably was a better comedian before the last time I did weed.
That's not true. It doesn't work like that.
I know, but this is my paranoia.
I'm helping you right now.
It's a, what is it called when you make something real by
the placebo effect?
Well, not that too probably, but when you're hypochondriac.
Oh.
I think I'm a bit of a hypochondriac.
You manifest what you fear.
So, yeah, that I manifest what I feel, and then of course in turn fear.
Descartes.
What? What is that called?
Philosopher.
Descartes. I think, therefore I am.
I try not to do that too much.
That's all I know.
Know what I think all the time?
That's and Canadian I'm, public education.
Listen, I always feel I'm a terrible comedian. I've got a long ass way to go, if at all.
You're a funny comedian, and I'll tell you why. Because you have defined jokes. I've watched you. You have defined jokes, and you have a very clear personality. So these are two things that are the hardest things to have as a comedian. You're also yourself on stage, which is very hard to do.
Yeah.
This is an area where being Asperger's or autistic
is a pro
because it took me 6 years to learn how to be myself. Like if I look at tapes from even like 2-3 years ago, I'm like, who's that shouty guy with an over the top Canadian accent? Like I think it's like I'm telling yarns. Over there, like it took me a while just to talk like that. It's just weird,
yeah.
You know.
And thanks for tuning in to the Canadian BBC. I love it.
Yeah. By the way, thank you for saying that. I do appreciate that affirmation.
No, you're a good comedian. You just gotta keep writing more jokes. That's all.
Yeah, but I do better when I'm around other people because people know what's funny more. I don't know what's funny.
Right.
So people give me a good idea about what I should do.
This is why comedy's good for you, and it's good that you found something.
I call comedians my second family. I never felt.
I think you've got a unique voice is the thing too. You're connecting things that we might not connect.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I lost my place. I'm sorry. By the way, that's a thing that people got to get over. I have a horrible problem of over apologizing. And because when you're so...
He's very Canadian.
Constantly. You would have thought I was from Canada, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry,
and it's not... And here's the other thing. When I say I'm sorry every time, I absolutely mean it. It's not something I'm saying fruitlessly. Is that
no,
the right term?
No, that is the right term. Correct. I want to know, would you give... Like this study, this MDMA study is funded by a bunch of universities, reputable universities, yeah. And they say it does work. Would you give?
Well, a couple things. My son's on the severe end, so his problems are more on the communication side. So, like, if you can't even communicate with him, it's hard to assess what's happening in his brain.
But wouldn't it free him up a bit?
To do what though?
To look in your eyes and like.
I know, but he could just
want,
be high.
Want like, interaction. Know.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's hard to gauge that if there's no communication, even through sign language. Like, what are we gauging? Eye contact?
So we're gonna. He'd probably, like, hug you and touch you. And
he already does that.
Okay.
A lot.
I like the hug.
There's a lot of wrestling and hugging. I guess my short answer is no.
Right.
If he could speak and there's a chance that, like, how do you feel? And then just make you feel weird. Or, for example, like, somebody recommended to us once there's antipsychotic drugs. But
that's
then
what
some
I take.
People hear voices. But if my son doesn't talk, how can you tell if he hears voices? If he doesn't tell you, I'm hearing voices, please can I stop taking the medicine? And then you're just like shoving it down his throat. I don't know.
So he's like, these voices. That's such an interesting point.
So for me, no.
Well, on that note, I think we should wrap it up.
But
we'll have you back. There's no rush.
That'd be great. I'm glad I'm good enough for a second ender.
Of course, you're amazing.
Oh, I love you guys. I hope I wasn't selfish.
You were amazing. You were amazing, and you made it a great episode, and we really appreciate you coming and being on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anything you want to plug?
Other than I just did Kirk Smith's podcast.
Lucky duck.
As usual, promote, I'm part of Roast Battle Tuesday nights at 10:30 at the world famous Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard.
What do you do there?
Don't you do a show called Ask Josh Anything?
Oh, on Sunday nights, there's an open mic. It's a weird kind of open mic because you can pitch segments that you can do. So One of the segments I pitched that whenever I that they like to do whenever I'm around is Josh Meyerowitz Can't Lie. That's the one. That's the title. I'm so, glad awesome. When I come up with a good title like that, because I like creating titles, but usually they get shot down because they're too wordy.
Tell us about the show.
Yeah, it's just 3 to 5 minutes of me being usually asked by Eric Marino, who runs the show Up Go Up, which is the Sunday open mic, usually 11 o'clock on a Sunday night at the world famous Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard. Okay, I love the Comedy Store very much. And yeah,
Kirk, you want to plug anything?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Josh. Oh, no
problem. June 7th at the West Side Comedy Theater. We've got that show called This Is Crazy. We're back. Second show. 7 o'clock. West Side Comedy Theater on the 7th. It's a show about mental illness and neurodevelopmental disorders. We'll be telling stories and jokes, and we're going to have Graham in the next one.
Can't wait.
Sorry.
Nope. No worries. Do you have a Twitter?
Yes, at Autistic Thunder.
I love it.
It's one of the first jokes I ever came up with. What if I was an autistic superhero? I'd be Autistic Thunder.
That's a good wrestling name. Anyway, I'm at Graham K. Comedy, and I also have...
Do you have a tour coming up you want to plug?
Yes, I'm going to be in Vancouver for the... I'm going to be in New York for the first week of June, next 3 weeks of June. So basically all of June, I'm going to be in Vancouver, Canada. Cool. So check me out there, everybody.
Yeah, have good shows.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you. Listening.